Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 115, part 2, Two Loves, Eros and Agape. Today is Sunday, October 4th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And you know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, which means you're a baby boomer, or you're disabled with proof, maybe you're a veteran, call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. and register your household for monthly groceries. Be sure to do that. We have plenty of food and we'd like to help you out. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our Pastor Paul's operation. So be sure to help us out online. You can also join our online community, and up at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast where you can subscribe to weekly podcasts, Life Vantage, supplements, YouTube, you could watch some of our videos, and Twitter. Be sure to join me, Janine Sherry, on Twitter, where you will see a Twitter stream on Thursdays while I'm recording Pastor Paul's message. So be sure to check us out and join me on Twitter. When you go to Pastor Paul's blog, you're going to be able to leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony. So be sure to go to Pastor Paul's blog, and you'll also see Pastor Paul's show notes there to the podcasts. In that those show notes, you're going to find interactive links to the scriptures within Pastor Paul's podcast. So be sure to go to the blog and link to the scriptures after you listen to his message. You can also email me at janine@pastorpaul.org. And as you know, Pastor Paul's podcast is twice weekly. On Friday is part one, Sunday is part two. So be sure to listen to both parts. It's the same episode. Glad to be back. Maggie is my computer. I always name my computers. I don't know. It's just one of those quirks I have. Anyways, Maggie is back. Maggie and I are back. We've been gone for 2 weeks. Maggie had a video card. Literally, she went blind, and that was it. And so now she's seeing again. I can see her. She can see me. We've got the video card. And also, Dr. Greg at the Digital Garage, where I took Maggie, he was able to help Maggie to be able to kind of clear her head out a little bit. Major files, major podcast files, 115 episodes and going strong. So Maggie needed room. So anyways, I want to let you know the names of the messages that you're going to be able to hear on Pastor Paul's podcast this month. Two Loves, Eros and Agape. Let Us Look Upon the Faithful. Comfort Comes from Constancy and Making the Second Rate into the First Rate. As always, Pastor Paul's messages are incredible. You will learn so much, get so free, and just really be blessed by his messages. So thank you for joining me. Be sure to check us out online at www.pastorpaul.org. If you need groceries, be sure to call us, 612-521-4665. Register your household for groceries. Have a wonderful month of October in Minnesota. It's beautiful. We're looking forward to a beautiful Indian summer where we're out in the yard getting the garden cleaned up and ready to hunker down for winter, which is coming on. So God bless you. Have a great month of October. God bless you.
And it happened. And a man had such a desire to be with his wife, and I must be frank here, sexually and every other way, and I mean, it was just one, and he was just, ooh, just like a kid again, that the wife misunderstood and got scared and put it down and called it lust. That was her final and awful mistake. Say amen, somebody. You're listening on the radio. You're praying for your husband to love you. Then he comes on strong. It's a revive. It's a creative thing. It's a becoming the old eagle that gets brand new feathers, and all of a sudden there he's standing with eyes beaming. Huh? And they misunderstand it, and they push it away, and they kill it. All in the name of Jesus. And they walk away all pursy-lipped. And the guy falls into an old tattered eagle again. Huh? Now I'm counseling today. Maybe people don't like the way I preach. Maybe they call it disrespectful, but my God, it is right on. And I ministered this 11 years ago. Yeah. Misunderstandings! But that's why couples don't make it. They're living in a human love instead of a divine love. Human love can barely stand itself, let alone somebody else. You ever get sick of yourself? If you get sick of yourself, how can you stand anybody else? And I got scripture to back that up. How can you love me when you can't love your neighbor, and you can't love your neighbor if you can't love yourself? Now I believe this, I believe that church, we are guilty of not speaking out boldly. You can change. You can overcome through Christ. We have the how answer right here in the house of God. Yeah, we do. To all the people's whys, why this and why that. See, before we had agape love, there were only two alternatives. Free to go do it. Expression orgies like they had in Rome and in Greece. Or we had complete suppression. And they put on these Quaker outfits with the black hat and the black leggings and the black and the little frilly collar here. And the women had all these black on, the little bonnet on and everything. You know what was underneath that long black dress? Lust. You cannot suppress sexual desires. No. No, you can't. Don't ever try it. It's trying to suppress atoms. You can't do it. Are you hearing this? You know what happens with suppression at night? It comes out. And I first got saved. I said, God, all these people are coming and they're saying, I'm having all of these perverted dreams and I don't know what it is. Guy got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and he had a dream. And he said, and I had this dream and I had this sexual thing for my daughter and I never had those desires. Never! I said, you don't have to convince me. I believe you. Woo-hoo! Huh? And another one had this desire, and another one had that desire. And they were little things that happened in our lives, and the devil puts those things in people's minds, and they get up and they think, ooh, they hate it. And they hate homosexuals and they hate, ooh, and whores and pimps and, ooh. They see a little bit of themselves, and so they suppress that thing and they put it down inside of their subconscious mind. But at night, down inside of Pandora's box, down inside of there, it creeps out, peeks around inside. And it acts out that whole part while you're sleeping. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is that? Now, I'm the kind of person, if I want an answer from God, I just go the limit. Tenaciously, I will hold on and I will hold on until I got the answer. And you know what the Lord told me? These are things seducing spirits have hit upon this person. This is the old nature of man. Maybe it was a fleeting glance at the daughter or the son or the uncle or the neighbor or whatever. And they tried to suppress that and didn't know that it was an evil desire down deep inside that some seducing spirit had given them, their fallen nature, if you will. And they tried to suppress it, and it's really good that I let it out. Now he says, if they'll face that, and they'll face their self, they will be free of that thing. Because if they try to suppress it and put it way down deep inside, you know what will happen? It'll come out at night. And praise God that it does. That's the only way you're going to get rid of it. And you confess it and say, Lord, that's me. That's me standing in the need of prayer. Whew. Of course, that's never happened to any of you people in here or you listening on the radio. Of course not. That just happens to perverted folks. Oh, never to any of you preachers, you legal ones especially. Okay. Say it isn't so. Go ahead and say it ain't going to do no good. It is so. Woo! But see, Agape come along and I did away with both of those. Suppression. Expression, I did away with both of them. Agape comes and says, I'm going to show you a brand new way. By making the sex urge the instrument of a divine purpose, it therefore became the human satisfaction that we really needed all the time. That's like you have this 350 horse, four barrel carburetor car. It needs a driver. It needs an experienced driver. When you're high-powered in your sex drive, you need someone to drive that. You need the guidance system of the Holy Ghost. So it gets a direction and it gets a divine purpose. See, there's a whole lot of people don't understand why they have these kind of feelings. Feelings. Feelings like I've never had before. Feeling, huh? But the world needs agape and the truly born-again Church of Jesus Christ, if you understand what I'm talking about, has it. Or are we three-quarter, one-quarter? Are we watered down? Are we wagapi? But Eros is in this world. It's in here and it's going to be here until the end comes. It's taken over all the sex situations. It's a human love with a fallen nature. It's falling into a hole of vast sexual unhappiness. People are unhappy. Girls right now, they can go live with a boy and the boy could care less about that girl and he can just say, and just puts his knapsack on his back, and they get carries little knapsacks. Everyone knows people carrying. I'm kind of suspicious that somebody moved into my house, girlfriend. I mean, like, girls, listen, and they had a knapsack. Because they can just pack up all their cares and woes and put on their knapsack and their little old corny Nike tennis shoes and go walking away. Knock on somebody else's door. I think it's time the women take a hold of that thing and say no. You want me, you're going to have to marry me, and that's the only way you're going to have me. Do you get me? There's so much sexual unhappiness. Well, what's the results of it? Mountains. Mountains of bones of flesh and bones and bodies and the stench of burning bodies reaching God's nostrils even now as I'm speaking. 9 out of 10 divorces are sexual troubles. People trying to be playmates instead of helpmates. Studs instead of fathers, or sweet things instead of moms. Women trying to be calendar girls instead of housewives. Oh, don't try to be a calendar girl. You know what happens when you try to be a calendar girl? You go over and you get in a crowd of 4 or 5 other couples, and pretty soon you find yourself, and I don't care if it's Christian or not, you'll find yourself looking at the other person. Sneaking peeks at first. See, God help me, but it's my ministry. I notice everything. You know what I mean? And not to be judgmental, but I just recognize this is the way we are. And so you find yourself sneaking peeks. And then the devil has the other one sneak peeks. And pretty soon you're sneaking peeks and peeking sneaks and, huh? And you're in trouble. You're into eros, and pretty soon you don't see you too much in the church, and you're into the soaps, and you're into this, and you're into that, and you're into a whole lot of things, but you're not into God. You know what happens in groups like that? They get bored. And when people get bored, they get in trouble. Whenever I was bored, I got in trouble. I got bored and I went to boys' school. I got bored and I went to jail. I got bored and I ended up on Skid Row. I got bored and I got into trouble. Oh, there's a whole lot of disco daddies listening to me right now with silk pants and Fearless Fosdick hats on, or my mean man hat. Stink. Double stink, stank, whatever you want to call it. Running around, sweating up a storm in them leather pants. Man, are they vulgar. You got to take a great big, great big paddle and just whap them on the butt. Say, straighten up and fly right. Go on, take care of some of them babies you've been making. Some of them have been killed on your account. You know account. Well, Preacher Paul, that's none of your business. Shut up. Right? Don't you tell a devil to shut up? I do. Eros, it's a fallen law that can only act out what it's been fed. What are we feeding kids right now? People getting up with instruments, I tell you, they're stacked as high as the ceiling. Huh? You know, high as the ceiling, and they really don't play music. They make noise. And they're up there with the guitars, and they got ghoulish costumes on, and they got purple hair. Huh? And the people are praising. They got their arms up. I wish they'd do that in church all the time. But you can just see them. They're praising. And smoke is all over. And you can see the filtering of smoke and sweat. And everybody's sweating. And they're rolling their bodies around. Oh, they're just rolling their bodies around. And this old jive. They don't hear the music. They're so drugged up, they don't even hear it. And the next day, they read in the paper where their idol killed himself. Now we're seeing some of these things coming to pass. I'm going to just tell you this like it is. These are things that were told 11 years ago. Now, they were plain. That was nothing. There was nothing that everybody didn't know. But it was very unpopular to preach them. Eros, fall in love. It can only act out what it's fed. Now, you feed these kids that kind of thing, and they're going to act it out. You feed these kids that they can go out and they can do anything, they can sass people, and they can come home and they can lie to you. Now, how many in here have had your kids lie to you? I have. How many of you lied to your parents? Mom, then this happened and that happened and that. Is that right? Ooh. Oh. Let me at them. So she wraps up in her mattress and she come on down and with a great big hair and pop cans and just going to lay somebody's head open. I tell you right now, we've got to come to Christians. Everybody's got to help everybody else discipline kids. Because there's so many people out there that don't discipline their kids that they're learning a whole lot of things that they shouldn't learn. And everybody has to have the job of disciplining kids. All of you should discipline. I mean with the right way. Everybody discipline kids. Are you hearing this? And we have a disciplinary problem right now in our world. Because, oh, don't do that, because that's not your child. You don't tell my child anything. And here the kid has torn, half of your house off. If you want to deal with somebody, deal with me. But the phone is off the hook because the lady's sleeping until noon. Doesn't that happen all over our country? And parents are out all night and they're drinking. And the parents need help too, don't they? This is not against the parents. This is for the parent. But if we're going to have a society that says, you do not touch children, you do not tell them what to do, and if it's somebody else's kid, you daren't say one word, there is something wrong. I don't believe it. I don't believe what I'm seeing right now, but yes, I do believe it. But what I'm saying here is that we as Christians got to take on the job of saying, hey, this cannot happen. I don't care if you don't want me to tell your kid what to do. I am going to tell him as long as he's on my property, busting my headlights out, slashing my seats, taking off my hubcaps, misusing my daughter or my son. I don't want him to run with your kid, all right? Unless you have your kid shape up, I don't want my kid running with him. Why not? Why not? Don't you moms feel that way? Don't you? Am I all alone on this thing? I mean, is everybody such a coward that they don't want to do anything or say anything? They might upset the boat. Upset the boat. Now people cry, I'm drowning, I'm drowning. Call out to God. You should have drowned it a long time ago for the job you're doing. How many are hearing this? Oh, we're so offended. And then if you just lay one hand on my kid, I'll tell you what I'll do. And so then you got to take it out on the kid. You can't do this and you can't do that. We need help. We need help all over. I mean, the suburbs is lousy with what I'm talking about. That's why neighbors don't talk to each other on account of their kids. Kid comes home, they put a bucket of sand over my head. And so you run over there. I wanted to tell you this for a long time. Your kid makes me sick, and I'm sick of him putting sand over my kid's head. Now, is that true? And then you didn't see what the other kid did. So you have the McCoy fight that went on it started with the kids. Say amen, somebody. How many hear him when I'm preaching here? Am I all alone in this thing? I don't think so. I think right now we're coming to an understanding, and you listening on the radio, come to an understanding that we all have a job to do, and agape love is helping one another off when the kids start telling all those lies and things. You calling my kid a liar? Yes. Did I hear you right? Yes, you did. Any kid will lie as long as you're going to listen with your mouth hanging open. What? They love that expression. Oh, subconsciously, you live out whatever you've been fed. You do. You live it out. You live out the way your mom was and your dad was. And all. Now, that's no excuse, though, because I'm just giving you, you can get out of that. See, people are so busy trying to prove love without having any of it. Well, I love you. I really do. I really do. I love you so much. Here, I love you so much, I'm going to buy you this. Where? Isn't that that comfortable chair you wanted? Huh? Here you are. Shows my love for you, don't it? Well, there you are. That's just how much I love you. Huh? You asked me to prove it, didn't you? There it is. Sit down. But they don't have any love. They think love is buying things and remembering things. It's all human. You're supposed to be giving out all the time, not waiting to receive. It's blind, like I said, it's groping all over. That's like you take, now we haven't given our children a lot of directions in love. Now the schools took over and they started showing them sex movies. These are things you don't want to do. And they show two people having the sex act. And then they set up a law for the kids not to do that. And the kids are sitting there wondering why they don't want us to do that. Huh? And the devil says, go eat that forbidden fruit and you'll find out. You'll be just like your father. You'll be just like your mother. You'll be like your father. Isn't that the same old age-old question? Did you ever hear of such nincompoops in all your life? Listen, a four-year-old kid doesn't need to know all that. And so now we're in problems here because we let the school system get in there with all of this mishmash. But people are so frustrated. I don't believe it. They're eros lovers and they're so frustrated. Educated nincompoops then come in with their frankness about sex and they said, just be frank about it. That'll be a cure-all. In some places right now, they have the mentally retarded masturbate. What is that going to prove? You know those are demons? Some innocent, retarded person? Here, this is fun. You should have you should learn of sexual enjoyment. And the people that do that are perverted. But be frank, above all, be frank. You know why frankness won't work? It's bucking the moral universe. We're in trouble in this world because sex is merely eros. We've got to start to commit ourselves onto agape love. It's a step further. It's denying everything and just going on and saying, God, what can I do for somebody else? Isn't there a song like that? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that we've plenty of. Lord, don't make another mountain, huh? Isn't that what it's all about? When it comes right down to it, don't we have to pray for the grace of God to give us agape love and say, God, help me to go the step further and help me not get mad? Person called me then and I had ministered somewhere along these lines. He said, well, eros bring about self-expression, doesn't it? And I read somewhere they said, well, eros, it's self-expressing. It's expressing ourselves. Don't express yourself. That's like taking your clothes off right down there in Hennepin Avenue. Self-expression, let me say it, has caused self-manipulation. And when self is allowed to let it all hang out, it does. It won't be long until you'll see selves walking down the street, tearing off their clothes and walking naked, all in the name of we have our rights. People will start to take liberty with liberties. Isn't that right? No one is going to be safe from this thing that's coming on, these seducing spirits that are coming on right now. Nobody. And the snake is going into each house. It's called cable TV. These are those people, the soreheads, the old and the young. Nobody's going to be safe. Nobody. Your daughter isn't going to be safe. Your son isn't going to be safe. Your animals are not going to be safe. You hear me today. Self is really going to be frank. Trouble is, of course, our problem and our trouble in part. We have been preaching from the pulpit a watered-down agape love. I call it wagape. The most frustrated people are those who have been taught that they are free in regards to sex. It's taught right in the colleges and it's taught in the schools that you have sex freedom. That makes you free to get into trouble with themselves and with others and with life itself. And you know what? It's not working except to work out chaos. See, you start to repress sex drive and you're in trouble, and if you let them work them out, you know, in their own way, you're in trouble also. No wonder Paul said in the Bible, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" I talked to a psychologist not too long ago. He said, "Well, we're seeing this dilemma, and we're going to get rid of it by suppression of the consciences." We're going to substitute repression of impulse by attempting to suppress the conscience. In other words, you don't have to have guilt feelings because you'll become neurotic. And so to get rid of, he goes on, to get rid of the guilt, you get rid of your conscience. But when you get rid of your conscience, you get rid of God. Your conscience is God-given. It's a God consciousness. It belongs to God, saved, unsaved. And I said, "But that doesn't sound right to me." I says, "It doesn't sound right at all." I says, "Because you know why? You cannot get rid of your conscience in sex without getting rid of conscience everywhere. Look around. Does the country have a conscience when the Japanese, everything you pick up, made in Japan, do they have a conscience now? It all started with the sex thing. No morals, no this, no that, and people not working right, and people being lost in the sex drive and all this kind of thing, and fumbling around, trying to find themselves and being unhappy, and our youth getting into drugs and into alcohol and disco houses and all this kind of thing. Take a look around. Kids have no respect for their elders, none whatsoever. Take a look around. The school system is a joke. What? A hideous joke. People are graduating from high school and can't even read. I said, get rid of the conscience as far as sex, and you get rid of the conscience everywhere. Then it'd be all right to kill. Isn't that what's happening? It's all right to abort. It's all right to steal. It's all right to cheat. It's all right to swear. It's all right to hate people. It's all right to walk up and poke them in their face. It's all right to stand on the sidelines and, I don't want to get involved. And without a conscience, the whole society is falling down because it's lost its conscience. Governments have tried to satisfy people with eros love, but it can't be satisfied. The whole person can only be satisfied with the agape love of God. There is nothing else. Because if we live and we continue to live on, and I'm closing it up now, in this eros, we're going to be frustrated and unhappy. The question is today, do you want to be frustrated or do you want to be fruitful? Yes, I believe this, if we are free to choose, and I believe we are. But if we're not free to choose I don't think we're free to choose the consequences of our choices, are we? We're free to choose, but we're not free to choose the consequences of our choices. God is always going to have the final word. They are all in the hands of the moral universe, and they're all in the hands of God, no matter who has the first say. God is going to have the last say. God is coming. Don't worry about the Russians are coming, tra-la, tra-la. The Lord is coming. 1 Corinthians 9, then and 24. Do you not know that those who run the race and run in the race all run, but not only one receives a prize? Run in such a way then that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run the race in such a way as not without aim. What's your aim? I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. There's a lot of people right now, and I'm going to lock it up. They're getting a lot of pleasure out of breaking God's moral code. Yeah, they get pleasure out of it. There's adultery and there's stepping and there's fornication. But the code also applies to them. They lose an inward security. Right after the act, and I speak from some experience, you lose inward security. It's like everybody knows what you did. Of course, none of you know what I'm talking about, especially on the radio. It's like everybody knows what you did. You kind of walk with a, hi. Or if the people are on that side, hi. Huh? You lose eye contact. You lose body control. You lose faith. You lose hope. You lose everything. You're a loser. And you get bored. You end up saying, is that all there is? Is that all there is, my friend? Huh? Then let's go dancing. Huh? God, preacher, don't you know it's time to help people? Don't you know it's time to tell the truth? Don't don't you know when we let people get lax about their sex, they become vulgar and they have personal problems and they become lazy sluggards and drunks and alcoholics and unhappy and disrupted. Don't you know that our orphanages are full of kids whose parents met one time, didn't even know each other's names, and the babies right now are crying from their graves. But the moral universe we're going to find is the court of final appeal. God is going to have the last word. Our decisions that we make right now in helping one another with agape love and the raising of our children and the loving of one another and the overlooking differences, we don't make the right decisions, they're going to kick back. We're suffering right now from the wisdom of the world and psychiatrists and books. You know why the psychiatrist is always wrong? Because he has to give you something that your flesh can reason out. That's why it's always wrong counsel, because it always gives you something that your flesh can work out. Oh my God, and be careful who you counsel with. You might counsel with the biggest blabbermouth in town, somebody living in the flesh. Someone doing it for gain. Oh, you can go pay. You can pay counselors. Did you know that? They are not worth their pay. Because if they're getting pay, you know what they're doing? They're going to have to give you something that will satisfy you and keep you coming. They'll have to give you something you can reason out. So many times, instead of giving good, clear counsel, and a lot of times when you counsel people, they think, well, I didn't want to hear that. I wanted to hear you just give my husband or my wife what floor? What for, I say. I'm going to give you godly counsel. And godly counsel is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And godly counsel is just very, very simple. How many are hearing this? Oh, I tell you, there's a day of reckoning for people to go out and they give counsel and they blab it all over the place. God is watching. People on the radio, let me tell you something. You're dealing with preachers right now that are under the anointing of God and you're seeing them going through a whole lot of suffering and you're doing a whole lot of talking about it. You better pray right now to repent and you better get down on your hands and knees right now and start to repent. Start it right now. This is, I'm getting calls from pastors all over the place because they listen to this radio program. In fact, this program, and I'm lifting up God in it right now, has free time on Saturday and Sunday because it's listened to. You know why? Because it just gives out the plain, bald-faced truth without hurting anybody's feelings, I hope. Maybe if it does, well, then it's supposed to. There's so many of us Christians that are running around with a whole lot of things and a whole lot of evil questions. We need to get our act together like we've never needed to get our act together before. My God, start to grow up and do something for the Lord besides run all over. Bible says that you praise me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. You can go to all these praise the Lord meetings and they're great. But if that's all you're doing is opening up your yap and praising the Lord, never doing nothing for God, then it is an empty praise. Doesn't mean anything. You can go up here all the faith messages you want to hear and all the popular preaching you want to hear and all the seminars and all of the going to, you know, you can go to Africa and back again. You can go to Egypt. You can go all over. You can stick your face every place it ain't supposed to be. But if you ain't following the will of God, you ain't doing nothing. Say amen, somebody. You feel deep. You listening on the radio, you got something you got to get right with God with? Well, that's up. You got a conscience, and don't just let your conscience guide you. You know, God's saying, get right with me, and don't you just lay these things down, because I'm coming. And great and terrible will be my coming. It says that they'll pray for the mountains to fall down on top of them so they won't have to look at God. You know something else, Christian? God is going to be looking at us. And the first ones to be judged is going to be the Christians. Not for sin, but for what they did in the way of love. And let me tell you something, that's going to be heavy. Because the Bible says you're going to go through by as if by fire. What does that mean? What does that mean? I don't know, but you're going to go through fire. Now, if you're made out of diamonds and rubies and sapphires and precious gold and metals and things like that. You're going to make it through fine if you're just made out of rubble, straw and hay and things like that. Sticks. It's going to all burn off. Yet ye shall be saved. Yet ye shall be saved. How do you want to go into heaven? One smoking tennis shoe and one hair on your head smoking? A pair of smoking diapers? You want to go in there with a crown of glory. How do you want to go in? How do you want to go in? Can I read a couple scriptures? Does anybody want to get out of here in a whole lot of hurry? Can I read two more scriptures before we close? Are you in that much of a hurry to get out of here? I don't think so. I'm going to do it anyway. In 2 Corinthians here, 5 and 14. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we reckon no man according to the flesh. Isn't that beautiful? When you look at the homosexual, when you look at the criminal, when you look at the mean kid, when you look at all these things, look at no man after the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? Oh, God. God, thank you for today. Help people to surrender their sex life, Lord. Help them to surrender these things, Lord, that have been misdirected by the news media, by the devil himself, by the Antichrist. Help them to recognize that self doesn't have to get in the act all the time, and that whatever gets their attention gets them, and if sex gets their attention, that's what's going to get them. But don't look at, on the other hand, sex as an enemy, but as an ally. Lord, help them not to allow themselves to get into these situations. Help them not to say, Lord, well, Lord, it happened this way. I went to the movie, this movie, Wine, Woman, and Song, and then we just went to the bar to observe. And mind you, just observe, Lord. We're both Christians. We went in there, and then we went to her place in a conversation, and so on, so on, so on. The first thing you know, we were, Maybe that way today. Maybe listening on the radio should take all these sins to the altars of God and just say, God, my slip is showing. I've slipped. My slip is showing. Oh, hey. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that is God's agape love. So deep and so high and so wide, you can't get over, or around, or under it. Knowing all that, then, doesn't that want to make you serve the Lord all the more? What's holding us all back? You listening on the radio, what's holding us back from a move of God that's happening? Beautiful things that are happening on the north side right now. Are you going to be defeated over a little thing that comes up? You're going to go all mad and get in a sweat and get in a lather? Everything isn't corrected in 2 seconds, you know. It took years to get this way, 5,000. God, I just pray that today, if there's somebody in here that doesn't know you, that they'll come forward. So if you're